Welcome back to a new
movie better, yes.
Episode 76.
76.
John Bones in the Big Parade.
What?
What?
Oh dear.
I thought you all shared my camp musical sensibility.
This is really not. This has been a day of Paul making obscure musical references, that's, which may exist only in his head.
Because when that from a show,
when we rang Paul's doorbell earlier to come to his house and record, Paul opened the door and said, "Take off your clothes and come on in." So he met with a very confused look from both of us, and he said, "No, that's from a song, isn't it? I think
your song.
It's from the Music Man.
Fair enough.
The Music Man.
There's a song called 76 Trombones."
Well,
I can't get to do that musical reference for another 100 episodes, so let me have my moment.
No, okay. I'm not saying you can't have it. I'm just saying it makes you weird.
My people.
Jen's miming slashing at wrists. That's how uncomfortable you've made it.
I was trying to be a trombone.
Oh, see, fair enough. The difference is minimal.
Well, welcome to the episode. This week, The Expendables, or as they say in Spanish countries, Les Expendables.
Fair enough.
Really?
Before the big evil Cuban chief comes down and then Sylvester Stallone comes in, and that's generally sort of a film of racial stereotypes, really, isn't it?
A little bit, yes. Yeah. We've also got The Switch.
Yes.
And Piranha 3D.
Indeed.
Paul's putting on 3D glasses.
Ooh, hey, it's like really here.
I'm not going to smack Paul in the face. Sorry.
That's also going to hurt the eardrums. Yeah,
That was far louder than I'm not quite sure how my hands made that noise. And also, yeah, Jen has got eardrum problems at the moment, so I'm very sorry.
I've got a perforated eardrum.
As does everyone listening. So, thanks, sorry, I'll
quieten down that slap. But, yeah, in case I cut it out or edit it down or mute it or something, that was really loud.
Yeah,
I'm quite impressed. I don't quite know how I did that.
Ouch.
Yeah, got my special slapping equipment.
Yeah. Stop it. But speaking of, because you got your perforated eardrum at a theme park, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. I did.
Most people buy just, you know, key rings or things, but yeah, whatever works for you.
Because there was the Saw ride, wasn't there?
And I feel there like
as
was
a movie
the
banter
Saw
episode,
ride.
You should can you review the ride as a Saw based
Saw ride, was very good actually. It was the one that we went on last, but it was one where the queues in these places are ridiculous. They're like an hour and a half or longer. And so with Saw, we decided that, you know, enough's enough. We're just going to do the fast tracks and pay more money, which is clearly what they all planned for. So we didn't have to wait for 2 hours. So just because of that, I think it was brilliant.
If you're on the fast track, do they put you on and then you get a special thing saying, hello, you have passed the test. By wanting the fast track, you see yourself as better than these people. Well, now you'll have to kill them all because I planted a key padlock inside their heads.
That would be good.
No, nice.
But that didn't happen. No, it was actually very, very scary. Ooh. There was one bit where you go straight up like you're being launched into space, and it's the anticipation of going, oh, no. Oh, yeah. And then literally you go straight down. There is no curve. Well, at the end there is. But yeah, I didn't swear, but I did shriek a bit.
Is the ride
did a little bit of poop?
No, because you just physically can't. You just
you're so clenched. Nothing can escape you.
For someone else to get.
Zero G. Anyway.
But no,
is the ride rated 18?
No.
So kids
I think
can
it's
go
about,
on having never seen the film?
Yes, I know, which I found incredibly weird, actually. And there's this thing called Saw Alive, which is like this maze, scary maze. You go in, can you... yes, of course I can last. It's fine. It's a bunch of employed actors just going, woo!
Really?
And it was...
Did you give them the CV?
No, I've actually seen breakdowns of that have been given to me, and I'm like, yeah, not ready for that yet.
I'm better
really
than that.
Not. The weird thing is that I went in there with someone who's in the army, and you have to put your hands on the shoulder of the person in front. He didn't even, not even any, no grip even. It was just soft, like a breeze,
what,
just
on
my shoulders.
He was just resting on your shoulder?
Yeah, and not even a peep. I think I heard him giggle once.
Oh, really?
But I'd imagine he's probably seen worse, frankly.
Than a 17-year-old girl just going, yeah, I think so.
If that's all the Taliban have got for us, then I think it's no wonder we're doing all right.
Yes. So I think that actually frustrated the actors more than anything. But,
I can imagine. But if you jump out as an enormous soldier, you're not really going to expect that much of a shock.
No, I felt in return quite comfortable, I must admit. And then I saw the acting and I felt slightly uncomfortable. But with my eardrum, it was because it's on another ride, actually.
Oh, yes,
and the big rest thing that stops you falling out covers the either side of your head. And if you have G-forces that throw you about, then, yeah, it it banged my ear and...
G-Force, the hamster movie.
Duh.
No.
No, there's a hamster movie.
Oh. Yeah, that's the reference I actually got. Yeah.
Well done.
But I was just saying, no, don't.
No, don't go. Okay, fine. Okay.
But yes, yeah. So that's how it happened. Oh, dear, so yes.
We wish you a speedy recovery.
Oh, yeah. Yes. But it means I might go, eh?
What?
What?
I'm practicing when I'm older.
Thursday. No, I'm not Thursday. I'm Thursday. Should we run to some films?
Yeah, yes. So moving on to banter. Aging actors.
Maybe.
No.
Okay.
Continuously. The Expendables. Yes. Which is good. It's an 80s throwback.
It is.
That's how it's being hyped, but I think you're still getting mindless action films being made today.
Well, you are, as I think there is quite telling by the fact they put Jason Statham in there. Sort of
yes, exactly.
He's carrying the flag for us.
Exactly.
Us
and Jet Li is still going.
Jet Li's still going. Yeah.
So yeah, but it's more. I think it's more the casting because you've got everyone. Well, lots of people who use your classic 80s action watcher would want. And you've got Bruce Willis and Arnold Schwarzenegger in cameos, but both there. And Sylvester Stallone, and Jason Statham, and Jet Li, and Dolph Lundgren, who's a nice addition. Masters in Chemical Engineering, Dolph Lundgren.
That's right, clever boy.
Crazy man. And other people.
Randy
as well.
Couture.
Oh, yes, and a couple of...
And,
Steve Austin. Yes. Yeah. And Terry Crews.
Oh, that's right, yes.
Is a name I only recognise from the Old Spice adverts that he's done.
Oh, is that him?
No. He's not the I'm on a Horse guy, but he's done some other ones.
I was going to say.
No. That's a guy called Isaiah Mustafa, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. No, but Terry Crews, he was a American footballer. But he's done some Old Spice adverts as well, largely involving him vibrating his muscles and shouting a lot. But they are also quite funny. Yeah. But it's an all-star cast.
Yeah.
And it feels quite a bit like Commando in terms of group of people, except in Commando it's just one note, but a group of people storm an island to kill everyone.
Yeah.
That's pretty much the plot. They get recruited to kill everyone, and they go and kill everyone.
It is quite...
With a woman being involved.
It's properly...
A woman being involved. Just the one.
Just the one.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Pretty much, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
As in, they go to Anders, like, the CIA, or they get given a job, say, oh, you need to kill this dictator. And they go there and say, oh, it's not just a dictator, there's some other guy involved as well. And then their contact is a woman, and then their cover gets blown, it all goes wrong, they leave, and they say, no, I need to try and regain a bit of my soul, so I'm going to go and rescue this woman. And then they all go back and blow everything up.
Women, it's got the 80s attitude to women in these films, which is that they're there to be protected.
Yes.
Or,
And even, I mean, cause the woman they go back to rescue is, she's a very strong, capable woman, but she is still ultimately kidnapped and then has to be rescued. And Charisma Carpenter is in it as well.
That's
which is
right.
A slightly random casting, playing Jason Statham's girlfriend/ex-girlfriend. But again, she's I'm in a new relationship with someone, he's beating me, so I need rescuing as well, which isn't to undermine any aspect of that, but it's kind of a slightly one note on the female front. But that's because ultimately it's a film for men who want to watch things get
it
shot
is
and blown
a one note film, isn't it?
Which
it's quite
is one reason why I haven't seen
I was
this
surprised
film.
That in the cinema when I saw it a lot of women.
Oh, really?
But a lot of women on dates with guys.
Nah, fair enough.
And I think it was... They're clearly there. Clearly that the guy had been storing this up for a while.
Yes.
All summer he's been going, I'll go and see Dear John with you, as long as you go and see a film with me at my choosing
exactly.
In maybe late August, early September.
When this comes out, then you owe me.
Yeah.
But the thing is, it wasn't... It could have been utterly mindless. I mean, it's mindless in terms of limited plot. But it could have been just non-stop explosions the whole way through with no thought or anything. And there is a tenuous plot, and there's a bit of character stuff, and it's all slightly crowbarred in. But you get Mickey Rourke being the sort of retired guy who's trying to tell Sylvester Stallone how he never redeemed himself and kind of wanted to. So you get a degree of emotional stuff involved.
Mm.
And it's only about the last 20 minutes or so where it is solid explosions, gunfights, mindless death and destruction. So the rest of it, they don't overload you with it too much.
Mm-hmm.
And they could have done very easily. I think because it's directed by and maybe written by Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Yeah. And so while it's not the most thought-provoking film in the world, he's still well-made and competently made, and he knows what he's doing. So as a result, it ends up being quite watchable. And you get to see Jet Li fight Dolph Lundgren, which isn't something I'd see.
Up to that point in the film, my review of it was going to be everyone was underused, which is going to happen. If you get a cast where you go, this name, not everyone's going to get that their moment. But what I did quite like by the end of it was going, okay, well, Jet Li got his fight, Dolph Lundgren got his fight, Stallone got his fight, Statham got his... They all get their fights, pretty much. But not as much, Steve Austin, does he get enough? Maybe not. But it's a bit of a balancing act, really. They need to get a bit in there. So, I mean, I found it. I thought it was quite enjoyable. It wasn't as good as I hoped it was going to be.
No.
I think it was just nice to see all them back together again.
Yeah.
And that actually the substance of what they were doing, I mean, they've all had better days, let's be fair.
Oh, yeah.
They've all had their glory days are mostly behind
this
them.
No, this isn't going to be a classic for any one of them, but I'm kind of like Scott Pilgrim, who said last time, I'm pleased this exists. Mm. I'm pleased someone thought, yeah, let's do this. Although now, they're talking about a sequel.
Yes.
Which sort of undermines the point a little bit. They're saying, it's sort of a... Yeah. No, the thing is, it's kind of like Transformers. I'd go and watch a sequel. But I don't necessarily, just because they can make one, I don't know that they should.
Mm.
I'd be happy to, if they can still expand, go and see it. If they can get some other people they didn't get this time around.
Yeah.
Like I know, I think last time we were talking, when we were previewing this film, we were talking about the names they should have called.
Yeah.
And, you know, Seagal and...
I think Jean-Claude Van Damme was approached, but then didn't want to be in it.
Yeah, I've since found out, Jean-Claude Van Damme was approached but didn't think the part was big enough for him, and a fully rounded character, which I think is, he's kind of got a point, because all of the parts in it, you know, Schwarzenegger just walks in, walks out again, and there's a lot of that they can't fit everyone in.
He's a busy man.
He is a busy man, you know.
Yeah.
And there's a nice reference in the film too, the fact that he's a busy man and his presidential ambitions. So Van Damme was approached, Seagal was approached, and he didn't want to do it for a similar reason. Who else was there? Seagal couldn't get the timings to work, but would have done it otherwise.
Because he was probably making Machete, which I think he's in.
Could well have been, actually, yes. Yeah. So he might be up for the sequel, which is quite interesting. Kurt Russell was approached, but said that he didn't want to do ensemble work at this current time. In other words, I want a lead role!
Exactly.
And the other one was Wesley Snipes was approached to be the Terry Crews part.
Oh, right. And but he was in prison.
He couldn't leave the country.
Yeah.
Or the room. So, there was that.
Yes. What, tax evasion? He's been done for.
Right.
I think he's in prison.
At the time, anyway, he was out of prison, but he just couldn't leave the country.
Fair enough. So,
there you are.
But they've left room for a sequel. There are still more people they could bring in.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
I think I agree with Nick Kempdown, who approached us on Twitter. I've got the review.
can I pass this on?
Exactly. Who said, fun deaths, plenty of cool body slams. Wasn't impressed, though, by the plot, the knife-throwing, or Statham. Austin misused two. They also cheated with action sequences, lots of fast-paced camera angle changes instead of the fights themselves. And I think that is... I'd agree with that in that because they're all getting on a bit, they've got to just move the camera a bit more to kind of make it look like Stallone, who's now 65.
Oh, really?
He's 65, yeah.
Yeah.
Is doing more than he clearly is.
Yeah. See, and Jason Statham had a couple of... The Jet Li-Dolph Lundgren fight actually was pretty good at that. But I think the fact that I noticed that the camera was a bit wider and you could see a bit more, it shows that the other fights, far less so of that.
Mm.
Actually, there's also one thing, going back to last time, talking about Scott Pilgrim, I think the action sequences in that were very good, I thought. They had clearly a lot of it wasn't actual Michael Cera, lots of shots from the back and then cut. But at least you see a reasonable wide shot of quite fluid fighting going on, and then you cut back to other stuff.
Yeah,
And it's not a... I don't know if it's just because it's easier, or it's partly a modern style, just to grow close up and you can't see anything. But it's been going on for years, and it's enough.
Yes. One thing I was going to mention, actually, with Scott Pilgrim last time, was I heard that quite a nice thing that... because they've been working on Scott Pilgrim for years, since actually when they were working on Hot Fuzz as well, that Edgar Wright was saying that he was working with Simon Pegg on Hot Fuzz.
Mm.
And Simon Pegg, being Simon Pegg, likes to work for about 3 hours a day. And he'll turn up about 11 and go about 2.
Right.
And then just go and do other things. And he's an actor. He's a busy man. He's got things to do. Edgar Wright quickly realised that... And Edgar Wright wants to focus on this all the time.
Mm.
So Edgar Wright eventually realised that, Simon needs about 2-ish. And the co-writer he was working on Scott Pilgrim with was over in the UK for a bit. So he said, come up about 2:30 and each day, and we'll get it done. And after about 2 weeks, one day, Simon Pegg thought, I'll stick around, I'll do another hour. He goes, that's not going to work. So they had a bit of an awkward moment where Simon Pegg finally tumbled that in the afternoons, Edgar Wright be working on the next film. And apparently there's a moment of Simon Pegg walking across the car park from the offices with the new writer up there with him. And Simon Pegg just yells up to the window, just, you'll never replace me!
What does he expect if he's going to leave halfway through his day? You've got to do something.
I love the idea that neighbours were clearly looking down going, what's Simon Pegg yelling that for? anyway, there you go.
That's the expression. It's basically exactly what it says on the tube.
It is, rather.
Don't expect too much, but expect explosions and gunfire.
It's an expendable film.
Yes.
Yes.
But in a good way.
So, The Switch.
The Switch.
Switch.
This is Jason Bateman and Jennifer Aniston film, and I don't even know if I've actually seen the trailer for this. But if I had, I'd imagine it'll play up the sort of rom-com Jennifer Aniston. Hey, Jennifer Aniston, everyone loves Jennifer Aniston. That sounded more sarcastic.
No, but it's true.
Jennifer Aniston is the watchers are the audience for this. Except it ends up being more of a Jason Bateman film,
right?
And not in a bad way. And it's Jennifer Aniston. It's kind of like The Backup Plan, which I never saw, but it's apparently very average. Yes. In that Jennifer Aniston is a single woman, wants a baby, decides to go the artificial insemination route, finds a donor who she can actually meet and talk to, and then on the night sort of has a party to celebrate the pregnancy, which is a bit weird.
But which isn't her idea, but...
No, but it's odd, but at least people point out it's a bit weird, rather than just pretending it's something normal that happens in films. And on the night of the planned inception, the donor has
inception.
Made... In, yes.
Oh, really?
Conceptual, yeah. The donor has made his donation.
Right.
Jason Bateman is Jennifer Aniston's long-standing best friend. I think we find that they went out like a couple of times, but then that was it. And it's implied he was always slightly interested, but not in a big way. So it doesn't seem to be from the beginning. It's sort of, oh, no, why aren't we together? It just seems to be the sort of slight unresolved, but he's fine with this, and they're just carrying on. But
he's basically pointing out, look, you want a guy that you don't really know to be the father of a child, why don't just wait and meet someone.
Yes. But it seems to be legitimately that, not to say, why don't you wait, because then you might realise it's me. It seems to be a very genuine, you know, good friendship. But he gets very drunk at that party, thinking it's
drugged
a terrible...
At the party.
He's drugged as well. He takes a herbal thing that's, but it's not played up too much. But he's completely out of it.
So basically, he's in a bathroom and he sees this sample pot.
Yes, and he sort of takes the lid off. And he sort of pretend, sort of waving it over the sink, but with no intention of doing anything. And then someone knocks on the door and startles him, and he drops it in the sink, and it all gets washed away.
Oh dear!
And he thinks, oh, what can I do? Or I'll replace it with my own. And then cut to the next morning. He doesn't remember any of this at all, and then. Events unfold.
You can then see you got your setup from there.
Well, yes. Yeah. But then she moves away for years, then comes back with a son who is a bit like him, and then it just shifts into quite like About a Boy in terms of with more of the family connection. In terms of him getting to know the son and having to accept that maybe he's quite commitment phobe and trying to grow up a bit and realizing what his feelings are about things. Mm. And yeah, so it's. And it's just a very touching, nice film.
Yeah.
And it's not full of laughs, but there are laughs in it, and quite nice. And Jeff Goldblum, as Jason Bateman's friend, is very good.
Mm.
Just being this sort of slightly amused outsider at the whole thing. Jennifer Aniston is good, but again, she's slightly on the periphery.
Yeah, which I think is a good thing. Like you say, it's nice to actually have a film like this from the guy's point of view.
Yeah. And Jennifer, I mean, she does it all. She's not completely sidelined, but she carries it all off very well. And the kid, especially, is very good because he's not overly cutesy like
Jerry
Maguire.
Yeah.
He's just because Jason Bateman is a bit neurotic and a bit depressed, and he's sort of inherited that side of him. So he pretty much begins every sentence with.
weary.
He's very watchable and nice on that front.
It's quite a grown-up rom-com, if it is. I mean, even the matter that we're talking about, washing away adult...
Yeah.
Kind of, you can say sperm, that's not a rude word. Well, you don't just shout it.
Yeah, but it's not kind of like in the way... Oh, I'm thinking of that horrible... What is it? Scary movie where...
Oh, she gets covered
in it. We're not talking about disgusting, grim things.
No. It is purely... We never even see, and it just see the cup, and that's it.
Yeah, it's very good.
Does it work? Is it funny?
I think it's funny when it tries to be charming. But it doesn't try too hard to be funny. So there are long periods with no gags, but at the same time, I wasn't there thinking, I wasn't thinking it was boring. It just doesn't try to be funny, which is why it's not it'll fall into the category of rom-com, but it's not overly com, and nor is it overly rom, really.
Yeah.
The rom comes in at the end, and the com is scattered throughout.
So it's spom-com.
Oh.
Is that wrong?
Yes.
Okay.
But it's just generally, it's sort of a very, very, very light drama.
And Jason Bateman is great.
Yeah.
He's thoroughly likable. It's just, yeah.
Mm. So, yeah, I mean, that's it. It's okay. Don't go in expecting a barrel of laughs, but if you fancy something, you know, sort of a bit of family, but Yeah, it's sort of hard to pitch, but that's why I think people going, hey, wacky rom-com, they won't get that.
Yeah.
But it is a nicely made film.
Yes. Okay.
And quite touching.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh,
good. Fair play to that.
And last but not least is the film which I can't remember. Oh, Piranha 3D, which I haven't seen, but do stop, take the glasses off. Stupid thing is as well, listeners, Paul already wears glasses and is now putting 3D. I mean, we have to do it in the cinema, but at home it just means you look doubly stupid.
Well, here's the weird thing. I saw, incidentally, emails will follow this as well. We have your emails.
Oh, yes.
And also Desert Island Flicks, which is based on The Expendables. Best 80s action flick.
Oh, yes.
All very testosterone-y. Which is like pepperoni, but an even bigger sausage.
Well done.
Thank you. Well, yesterday I thought we'd got a crowbar in there somewhere. So Piranha 3D. Ironic that I'm wearing 3D glasses now just to talk about it. I'm not anymore. They're off. Just clarify that. Given that I saw this film, it's the first 3D film I've seen not wearing 3D glasses.
Right. Why?
Well,
is it because... I can hazard a guess.
What?
No, well, maybe not.
I don't know if you're quite.
No, because you probably didn't see it at the Odeon, did you?
No.
Because the Odeon now charge you. You buy glasses, but then you take them back again.
You're so
cheap. My guesswork would be in that you owned a pair of 3D glasses, forgot to bring them,
took them, and they were the wrong kind.
Oh, possibly. Maybe? And refused to shell out £1 for a new pair.
We're right, aren't we?
You're close. You're close. It was a combination of things. It went like this. I'll tell you a tale. I went to see... How long have we got?
Long enough.
I got a ticket for Diary of a Wimpy Kid.
Right.
I saw the trailer and I was quite amused by it. And I went in and I think I just gave it like a few minutes and it was all right. It looked quite fun. And I just quickly thought... Piranha's on next door.
that's got nudity and
blood.
I think I'll just go there.
And so I just thought, I'll go see Piranha. Forgetting that it was Piranha 3D. And I thought, well, no, because there's Piranha 3D. There'll be a Piranha 2D in one of the screens. I'll find one of them. And all illegal, obviously.
No, but isn't it on your Cineworld pass thing?
But exactly. But yeah, so I can effectively, because of the Cineworld thing, you can queue up and get another ticket anyway. But the queue was massive. And I thought, well, I'll save them the admin. I'll just, you know.
Okay. Exactly. So it's legitimate, you're just cutting.
It turns out Piranha 3D, I think it's the first 3D film that has not had a 2D version.
Kind of makes sense. Given the title, kind of makes sense.
It's just Piranha 3D. Yeah. You cannot see it in 2D. I don't know. I presume they'll do a 2D version on video. DVD, as it's called nowadays. But these kids. So I went in and I thought, well, it'll be all right because a lot of 3D films have lots of 2D bits anyway.
Yeah.
And I didn't expect to watch all of it. I thought I'll just see a bit and then I can say I can mention it on the podcast briefly. I've seen the first 10 minutes. It looks quite fun. And I was hooked. I was completely hooked. And that's not an angling metaphor. I just thought, this is quite good fun. I'm quite enjoying this.
So it's so good, you'd even watch it blurry.
And then I thought, well, I could go back and get the 3D glasses, but I didn't have them with me. Mm. A, I'm a bit cheap and thought, I'm not going to go and get them. B, I thought, I haven't got a ticket anyway, so I can't walk out and say, I've got a ticket for Diver Wimpy Kid. Can I have my 3D glasses? And they'll say, well, it's not in 3D. And I'll go, that's not the point.
Exactly. I'm finding the screen extremely bright. I just want it dimmed a bit.
So I thought that would work. Plus the fact that my left eye's weird. And,
oh, you're wearing glasses?
Well, yeah. Basically, listeners don't need to know this, but I normally wear wearing contact lenses, which means I can watch the 3D films. But if I don't wear contact lenses, my left eye cannot see anything, pretty much. And I've now been told cannot wear the contact lenses anymore because they're ruining my eyes.
Oh.
So I can only wear glasses now.
Right.
So my left eye now does nothing pretty much permanently.
Right.
Until I'll have an operation in a few years, it'd be fine. But for now, the only difference is I can't really watch 3D films.
Right. Which isn't a great loss.
It's not a great loss.
Except if it's Piranha 3D and you really want to see some 3D boobs
I thought normally I'll just go and see the 2D version. But Piranha 3D hasn't got a 2D version. So if I want to see it at all, I have to see this one. As a result, I watched it, and of course lots of it is in 2D, some of it isn't, but generally the bits that are in 3D are the gory bits, when a piranha comes out and eats someone's face or whatever, or the nudity bits, and Kelly Brook gets her kit off and ba-joong out at the screen. And so, as a result, I saw Piranha 3D, but anything sex and violence was blurred out for me.
Oh.
So it's rated 18, but I saw a 12A version. It was like it was parental control on it. It was sort of, well, Paul's in, it's all right, he's quite sensitive, so we'll blur out the boobs and the gore for you, it'll be absolutely fine. So it was quite frustrating that, oh it's a bikini car! Oh, I can't see it! So that was odd. Let alone the fact that people around me in the cinema kept looking at me like, you haven't got your 3D glasses? I'll be fine, it'll be all right. I've got magic eyes. So it was a very surreal experience. But I thoroughly enjoyed the film. I thought it was a very, very, very guilty pleasure. But I saw it the same weekend as I saw Salt and Expendables and Scott Pilgrim. And I, in terms of sheer fun, it was up there with Scott Pilgrim. I think it was just... Wow.
It's shameless.
Totally shameless. They know that they're making... kind of a B movie,
but that's a good thing. I mean, Tremors is always the benchmark for that for me, and there have been other Eight Legged Freaks is another one for me. It's films that know that and just think, but it's a fine line between knowing you're doing that and going for it, and just being rubbish.
Exactly.
And films that can tread that line are few and far between.
Well, it makes a rubbish. They've made it very, very well. It's a very well done rubbish film. It's the opening scene. You've got Richard Dreyfuss on a boat doing some fishing. So it's kind of like Jaws reference straight away. There's a contra zoom in there as well.
Nice.
They don't have the phrase "we're going to need a bigger boat," which is a slight shame. but everything, you know, there's a few like knowing references in there. Eli Roth is in there. He's got a little cameo. Oh,
okay.
So they kind of say, we know what this is the sort of film we're making. It's a bit horror, a bit trashy, and it's the perfect setup. You can just see the whole film unfold in that. It's spring break, woo, you know, everyone's in bikinis and drinking beer. And Elizabeth Shue plays the sheriff of the town, who then finds out not only her son, who's meant to be babysitting her toddler kids, and then decides to go on a boat for the weekend. And you know, she's trying to do that, trying to close the lake and saying, everyone, you've got to go back and there's an emergency. And all the guys are going, there's no emergency. We got beer right here. Woo. And you just go, oh, you're all going to die. but we're going to enjoy it because you're all knobs. So it's fine. So in that sense, it's actually perfect. And it's the old classic Scream kind of thing.
It's all sex, sex.
You know, if you have sex in the film, you're going to die, basically. And the more nudie you are, sorry, you're going to die. Sorry about that fact. And there's a...
also true in life, I found. That's why I always keep the clothes on.
That's what it is.
I'm going to live forever.
Basically, you'll die with your clothes on. And it would be good for everyone. But there's a film director in it played by the chap, I've forgotten his name. But he's one of the Goonies. And and he's a hilariously awful, bad porn film. He's making a Girls Gone Wild film.
Right.
And you just know he's going to get his comeuppance. And he does, and it's hilarious. Kelly Brook's there for the guys.
Yeah.
Does she get eaten?
She kind of... I can't remember.
Kind of. Hang on, this is sounding a little bit...
Well,
I believe she does. She does. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Without giving anything away, but most people do.
Well, exactly. Yeah, that's not really...
And even the fact Elizabeth Shue's in it and Christopher Lloyd's in it. So it's kind of like a Back to the Future reunion.
Oh, yeah, because I've seen him in the trailer, I think. Yeah. And he is sounding a lot like Doc.
Well, that's actually brilliant. There's a moment, well, there's kind of the more famous moment from it is Kelly Brook and her Girls Gone Wild film partner, who have just an underwater nude montage for about 5 minutes.
Marvellous.
And you think, how do they breathe? They must be coming out for air, but we don't see the bit of right on again. Instead, it's this like mermaid kind of fantasy, you know, 3D, you know, in all its glory thing. And they're very shameless, but they know what they're doing. You know?
Yeah.
They're making it for that reason. But there's a big smile on my face for that. Not so much at the woohoo, but kind of like, oh, it's one of these films. They know what they're doing. But there was actually an even bigger smile on my face, maybe just me, when Christopher Lloyd started speaking in his cameo. And in the Doc voice, just sort of does the classic thing you get in this film, where he just says, "But a piranha like this hasn't existed for 4 million years." And it's just in the Doc, yeah, the Doc voice, and it's wonderful. And I just nearly cheered. So I thoroughly enjoyed it. I think it was bonkers, but if you like that sort of thing, I think you'd enjoy it.
Yeah.
I might actually be tempted to go see this.
Vaguely connected, or two Back to the Future related thoughts. One is that they're making a series of Back to the Future games, or adventure games, and Christopher Lloyd has just been confirmed as doing the voice of Doc in them.
Marvelous.
Oh, brilliant. Yes. Michael J. Fox hasn't been confirmed yet. No, they're trying to get him, but they may not. And also, coming out of the cinema last night, saw a big poster, which I didn't know. That's Jen's gasp may tell you what's going on, which I didn't know they were doing. But it's the 25th anniversary of Back to the Future this year.
I did see that, yeah.
1st October is back in cinemas.
They are re-releasing it in cinemas.
Yes!
And again, I don't know quite why that shouldn't be so exciting. I've seen it thousands of times. Well, a lot.
Probably.
And I've got the DVD. I've seen it. Yeah. And yet, I'm still going to go and watch it in the cinema.
It's the day my child's due to be born. It's going to be tricky to leave the hospital to go and do that.
It's probably out for a while. Well, yeah, but in a couple of weeks, it's paternity leave time, isn't it? That's the thing.
Well,
yeah,
but
you can take it to a mother and father and baby showing.
We'll see how it goes.
Get it started young on Back to the Future.
We'll see how it goes. Yeah.
Actually, another Back to the Future thing, the power laces from Back to the Future 2, companies are actually now working on doing that.
Really?
Yeah.
God, it's happening. The future's here.
It's no flying cars yet, but we've still got 5 years, so we're fine.
It's so exciting.
I'm very excited. So
which are you more excited about, Paul? The prospect of becoming a father or Back to the Future back in cinemas?
I'm excited.
It's a close run thing.
I'm excited at the prospect of my child growing up in a world where there'd be hoverboards. That's fair. Yeah. So a mixture of the two. Shall we wrap up with... Oh, actually, a couple of quick comments I was going to do on Piranha 3D. Just because, for the balance, given I really liked it, I should mention that Sean Jacks said Piranha 3D, absolute poo. 2 out of 5, at a push. Anything involving poo and a push, not ideal, but that kind of goes there anyway. And Tony Dodson said, daughter saw Piranha 3D last night, said it was bloody and ridiculous. And I...
See, that's weird, depending on some people, like, oh, it was bloody and it was ridiculous, it was awful. And other people might say, it was bloody and ridiculous, it was the best thing ever. It could go either way. I also got an email from Jude. Saying, hello, Banter Crew. Remember in episodes back, you were talking about walking into video store with 100 quid, buying all the Disney films. Well, he's doing that now with all the Disney films, from Little Mermaid through to Tarzan. Started with watching Enchanted on TV, and he felt the need to go back and watch all the films that inspired it. His two favourites, Hunchback of Notre Dame and The Little Mermaid. Hunchback's rich, dark atmosphere, haunting thematic score, beautiful art based on real-life architecture and culture, terrific villain who reminds him eerily of his uncle. Which is rather scary. Inspired by us, he decided to do some audio recordings of his reviews. So he sent his links to them for, I think, The Dark Knight and Salt. So we'll stick them on the website as well.
Indeed.
Underneath this podcast.
I think you can also find it on YouTube. I think it's Jed the Jedi. Something like that. If you have a little search, you'll find that. So there you are.
So, yeah.
Good news.
I'll pass the baton on. Blair says, hello. Great to have what would otherwise have been a banter void be filled with some preview episodes. Always love hearing you guys preview the films, as inevitably you break off into some very unusual tangents. On that note, please force Jen to sit through The Human Centipede and provide us with a review of it. I think it's been and gone, actually, from cinemas.
Oh, really?
From the few
I was very up in Edinburgh talking to a friend of ours who was taking a shot there, and he was just saying he had been talking to a guy called Todd who was in the car or the music crew, and I'd met Todd and so knew something about him, but talking to our friend Todd, he was just saying, oh, Todd, he was just telling me about this awful film, and just from that I said, oh, was it The Human Centipede? Yes, it was. Oh, brilliant. If anyone talks about a hideous film at the moment, it's going to be The Human Centipede.
You wait for The Human Millipede. Couple of DVD viewings, Blair continues, that you may or may not wish to include. So, The Shutter Island. Not an entirely satisfying ending, but it kept me intrigued on for a good couple of hours, so I've got little to complain about. Certainly warrants several viewings, although sadly, overnight rental, so you didn't get that lucky opportunity. But well worth it, I'd say, Shutter Island and Inception. You see, I'd get too confused straight away. But actually, as Blair says, there was DiCaprio. Makes me wonder if he's trying to carve out a niche for himself as guy haunted by dreams of dead wife.
True.
To the point that after the Vampire Suck film, they could do Guy Haunted by Dreams of Dead Wife movie, couldn't they, really? Band Lieutenant, Pawn of Cool New Orleans. First word of the title sums up my feelings of this film.
Ooh, I've still not seen it, but that's still bad. Really want to. Mm.
Yeah. And Lars and the Real Girl. Was expecting an outright comedy, but instead found it to be a really touching story. It says a lot about the film that it made me become really invested in a relationship that involved a blow-up doll. It could have been played distastefully for laughs, but stood clear of that on favour of a strong, character-driven film.
Yeah. So there you go. Yeah, I've heard good things about that, including now this, but still haven't seen it.
And Blair finally says that, I know it was a few weeks ago we discussed this, but if you want to see some great sentimental adverts, we're talking about the John Lewis advert, try searching for I Want More Time in YouTube and the Embrace Life seatbelt ad. And the Lopez Murphy political ad, apparently. But there you go. So worth a gander if you've got a bit of time on YouTube.
And who doesn't?
Exactly, frankly. But we have no more time now, for we are out of it.
Very true.
But we will do Desert Island Flicks very quickly. With
classic 80s. Yeah. 80s or 80, because I know the film that you're thinking of is 1990, but I always feel it's the end of that era.
Total Recall.
Yeah.
Going for it. That's it.
I think despite being 1990, that is an 80s.
It was made in the 80s.
Well, very true.
There you are.
But it's like the 80s, if you ask to just talk about 80s fashion, it always sort of goes like 83 to 93 is going to when it... Yeah, every decade overlaps slightly. Yeah. I'm going to go with Commando.
Oh, yes.
I'm going to go Commando.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. Just because, again, it felt a lot like The Expendables, and it just has a stupidly high body count, and it has one of my favourite mistakes in it. And it's one Arnie one-man army destroying everything.
Yeah. Can I do Flash Gordon, or is that just wrong?
That's not really sort of a classic 80s. Yeah.
You're going to Commando, you're going to Flash.
I'm going to go but if I can't do that, then it's going to have to be another Arnie with Running Man.
Oh, that's a good belter.
Yeah.
You can't complain.
So Arnie's one hands down, I think.
That is true, yeah. Well, I think he was, I always think he won the 80s over Sylvester Stallone.
I think he won the 80s.
But yes, so that's all, I think.
Good work. Well, there you go. Thank you for listening. And we'll be back probably in a fortnight. So have a week off and treat yourself. And go and see some films and tell us about them. Podcast at moviebanter.co.uk.
Yes. Shall see you in a couple of weeks.
Ta-ra.
Bye.
Bye.